Blog Talk Radio.
Ese que trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo manada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio te haré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes porque mucha gente se muere sin culpa. Bien dicen que en el negocio siempre son los socios que te traicionan. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca está lona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora.
Toro encartado. Rest in peace, Ariel Camacho. The legend lives forever, man. Legends never die. True Talk Radio, episode 126. Coming back after last week comeback show. Had a comeback, man, after that. Usyk versus Gotsev, World Boxing Super Series Showdown. Jaime Munguia, big win over Liam Smith. And just a comeback, folks. You know, it was a long time when we did come back. It felt good to be back. You know, felt good to have Michael Dutch over on, and he goes on to get the win in his first headline. We'll be talking about Path to Glory Thompson Boxing Show, and then also talking to Manny. You know, it was good. It was just good to have the blood flowing. He also got blessed with the presence by the homie Compa Uno, man. This show's going to be quick, man. We've got a lot to talk about as far as the fights that just happened. Obviously, the latest in the sport of boxing and the upcoming fights from this week. And we're just going to keep it like that. No guests today. But you never know, man. Somebody might pop in last minute. You know, there's always somebody or a fighter out there trying to get something out. And I actually have a couple in mind. I was talking to Montano about it. But more than nothing else, man, we're just going to talk boxing, keep it pushing. And that's what it is. True Talk Radio, episode 126. Here joining my co-host, Roberto Montano, a.k.a. Diamond Hill. Y'all know what it is.
Yeah, I've got a lot of fights that ended up living up to expectation and just showing up and showing out. You know, we also had that Showbox card on that Friday. This week we got another busy schedule. As Nacho would like to say, as the boxing world turns, there's always stuff, momentum going on. There's always press releases. There's always news. There's always stuff falling out, falling apart. It's a big game, the boxing game, and you know, we're happy to be a part of it and be able to bring you some of that info and just really enjoy it with y'all. It's going to be a good show.
True Talk Radio, man, that's what it is, man. And you're right, bro. As the boxing world turns, man, True Talk Radio, episode 126, a quick smash and dash, a little four-rounder. Just, you know, like I said, a recap, good week. And looking forward to a better one, you know, Mikey Garcia versus Robert Easter, and plus so much more. And I want to dive right back into it, man. I'm going to get right to the groove. I'm going to start off with our guests, our show, our people from last week, Thompson Boxing, Path to Glory, another successful show. You had Michael Dutch over. You know, we had him on the show, obviously. You always catch the replay of that. And you heard the man, he was focused. He was ready to fight. And, man, did he shine, man. Did he shine spectacular fashion. Proud of the kid, man. Got the second round KO. Was it first or second? It was second. But he got the KO, man. It was early into the round. Touched the guy, one shot, overhand right, boom, right on the button. You know, and if you remember, we were talking to him about, you know, fighting a durable guy. And you know, the guy had never been stopped. And y'all heard him. And you know what, man? I'm glad because, you know, now I'm stepping up. You know, I'm stepping up to a main event. And guess what? I'm going to be stepping up my competition. And I look forward to it. And that's how a real fighter is supposed to say. Or that's what a real fighter says and does. And he did that. So congratulations to the homie Michael Dutch over in his first debut. Not his first debut, but his first main event headlining. He gets the win. Not only does he get the win, he gets the KO. He improves to 10-0. Over Sergio Ramirez from Tijuana, a Mexican guy who came to fight, man. He just got touched, man. And it's funny because after the fight, he was interviewed by Steve Kim and Joselito Lopez, who was covering for Beto Duran, who was out there in New York covering the fights. But, hey, he looked good, man, and he did his thing, and he shined, and I'm proud of the kid, and salute to him. Shout out to Ken Thompson. On the undercard, man, you had the co-main event. You had a battle with undefeated fighters. You had Mario Hernandez versus Jonah Flores. Jonah Flores, a local kid, undefeated kid coming into the fight, had no knockouts, and it showed, you know, a little bit better technician, but Mario Hernandez had the better engine, and he ultimately got the win, got the knockdown in the fight, and got the clear unanimous decision win, and in my opinion, proves that he's the better fighter of the two. And to me, that's the type of fight that defines Thompson boxing. You know, that's why we always give him love. We talk about it all the time, support all boxing, support your local boxing, what have you. Well, Ken Thompson, you know, they're deep in the Inland Empire, Southern California area. That's what they do. Well, a lot of times they match these kind of fights, as Montano wrote in his piece a little earlier, I read it, where, you know, for every fight that makes it on TV, there's 10 that don't. Well, this one, fortunately for us, is on Facebook. You know, so there's some eyes, there's a set of eyes, there's people you can watch. And Mario Hernandez proves that he's legit, man. You had two undefeated guys coming in that were bull hungry. Jonah Flores had a gang of fans up in the Ontario Doubletree Hotel. And he just came on short, man. His lack of show, showed, got the win. Mario Hernandez did his thing and remains undefeated. His stable mate from Santa Ana, TKO Boxing, out there, shout out to them. Shout out to Coach. Shout out to everybody out there in Santa Ana, TKO Boxing Club. Mikey Alacartara, he got the win as well. And then also Ruben Torres, who we need to be having on the show here soon, man, got the big, big win. And he shined. And then we also had the fights on Boxeo Telemundo. My man Roberto all over that one.
Yeah, and then we talked about Jonathan Gonzalez, Bomba. Now, in he's a flyweight. We're actually going to be talking a little bit about the announcement for the super flyweight 3 coming up in September 8th. Jonathan Gonzalez is putting his name into, you know, I'm sure he stays in shape. If someone falls out, he would be able to fall back in there. But he's also putting himself into contention, picked up the 10-round clean sweep over Julian Yelavis. Not the greatest to fight due to, you know, the Yelavis not being able to keep up with them. But it was a good showing by him, showing that he's going to be, you know, Yelavis was 24-3. One thing about the flight weight and the lower level of boxing, at that weight specifically, there's not as much competition out there because it's so, you know, such a lightweight. Anyways, he got all three cards, 190. That's pretty much the only thing about that card that was, that stand out. Christian Camacho, which is Hector Camacho's son, pulled out a victory, a majority decision, moving to 7-1. But it, you know, it was over a guy that was 2-6. It's more of a learning experience. Hopefully, he goes back into the gym. You know, went back into the gym Monday, and got back at it. The other thing I was going to piggyback off of. Of Nacho's talking about the Thompson stream, which, you know, that, like I said, that for every one fight that's on a major network or getting major exposure, there's tons of small events that are now getting more and more outlets. DeBella's also dabbled into that .com, and he streamed his card, which is a 6-fight card. And you got to see a couple of guys that are trying to move up and you know, maybe stay busy more than anything. They had a main event with Shelly Vincent, who's actually only lost one fight, which against Heather Hardy a couple of years ago, trying to stay active in that 126 fighting range, trying to get back to a world title, a female world title. She won a majority decision over 8 rounds. The super lightweight kid, Mike Juan Williams, he's probably the bigger prospect. He's a 20-year-old kid already, 12-0, 7 knockouts. He picked up an 8-round decision over Matt Doherty, 8-0, but he got experience, especially after you start moving up the levels. You got to get that experience. So for every fast knockout, you need some decision wins to be able to teach you and hone your skills. The other big name on that or name that maybe for boxing heads brings up some past was Lennox Allen. Lennox Allen was a fighter. He moves on to 21-0 with the knockout, but he's been around the gyms for a long time. He actually went through something of an injury that kept him out of the ring for a while, but he's still trying. He's back, and he's 33 years old. He's 21-0. With one draw, 14 knockouts, expect him to eventually get an opportunity, especially being with DiBella and hanging around that camp and or that promoter. He's due for a big fight, and especially a light heavyweight. There's plenty of opportunities.
For sure, bro. I read that about Camacho, son. I didn't watch it, but I seen that he snuck the majority decision, and not a good look, man. Unfortunately, man, sometimes being the son of a fighter, man, there's a lot of pressure, man, to live up to those, you know, standards, you know, Camacho Hall of Fame. He's seen Junior, man. He gave it a good go. He gave it a good run. He gave a good account. He gave best he could. But, shit, when you don't come close to, you know, matching your father, oh, you're a bum, you suck, you're trash, you're weak, you're chinny. But he actually got out there and did it, man, and I say it a lot, and I mean it, man. You can't – I mean, you can say whatever the fuck you want, really, about a fighter, but I choose to respect the fighter for the fact that they give us what we want as a show, man. It's those – you know, it's funny, man, that I'm talking about that. You had Slow-Mo, one of the local guys who doesn't have a great record, man, you know, 14-28, something like that. But I've seen him go to war with Brian Vera's little brother, Gilbert. Gilbert had a brain hemorrhage and couldn't fight anymore. And it was because of fights against a guy like Larry Smith. This guy's a fucking warrior. And he got it. He kind of got in the middle of his Demetrius Andrade versus Charlo beef because Charlo called Munguia and Smith a bum. And then homeboy said, man, how are you going to call this dude a bum when you fight Larry Smith? Larry Smith just kind of got in there, and he said, yo, you know, I fought those guys, World Star. You know, I started Lions Only, all that.
Real quick to let you know about Larry Smith, you know, 10-32, but he's actually fighting, and big ups to him. He's always fighting. He just fought Ashley Theophane in April, fought the who's who of the area, but he's actually fighting this Saturday in the Hamptons, so good for him.
Hey, good for him, man, but for me, for being a real guy, I hope he quits for his sake, his kid's sake. He's a good guy. His little kids are actually fighting. I know Mighty Mo went out there to support those kids. I hope he calls it quits, man. I hope he cuts it out. That's just my opinion. But you heard him. 10-33. Been in there with everybody, man. Been in there with all kinds of people. But this is way before Two Boxing Heads. I remember watching them fight all over, you know, Boxeo Telemundo card, Solo Boxeo Tecate, seen them fight in Frisco, Dallas. I've seen them fight in Fort Worth. He was, you know, they put it on, man. They did their thing, man. Shout out to Slow-Mo. But it is what it is. And it just kind of led me to how boxing is. You know, I'm talking Camacho Jr. and attach the bums and slow-mo. That's what this boxing game is. It's what it is to me, man. I could talk boxing all day, but when you try to do it raw and uncut and have a little edited, a little version of what you're trying to do, it's kind of hard, man. But moving right along to the fights that we had from this past weekend, man, we had that Showbox card, man. A lot of little controversy there, man. You know, I'm going to start with the main event. You know, I think that was the only non-controversial fight of the card. We talked a little bit about the prospect, the blue chip, the guy on the card who was supposed to be good, Jaron the Boots Ennis, and he proved that, man. He came in flashy, came in cocky, suited and booted, and got the KO, man. You know the story. You know, 21-year-old fighter, welterweight from Philadelphia. You know, father, son of a fighter. His brother was fighting, and you know, he said before the fight, man, I'm going to put feeling on my back. And shit, the way he looked Friday, man, it was impressive. You know, he was going up against another undefeated fighter in Armando Alvarez. But, you know, it was clearly – it was even though Alvarez was the bigger guy, man, it was evident that Boots Ennis is the better fighter, and he is the blue chip, and he's definitely a fighter to keep an eye out. And he is what Showbox is about, man. I would love to have him on the show soon. We'll reach out to him soon enough, maybe before his fight or, you know, sometime in the near future. We'll have him on the show and what the show's about. You know, no different than Showbox. You know, you support the fighters now. You don't call them bums, and you support them. And you support them because they're the future stars. You know, they're the sport stars of the future. The big thing of that fight, man, obviously the controversial, man. It's a tough fight, man. Boxing is a tough sport sometimes. The co-main event, you had Thomas Matisse, an undefeated fighter from Cleveland, Ohio, 27. You know, you've seen him knock out Ronaldo Chimelda, another top, you know, one of those top-level guys in the sense that he knocks off undefeated fighters. You know, he knocks off prospects. He knocked off a few. And Matisse looked great in that fight when he stopped Ronaldo. And this time, many people were expecting the same thing, man. But he ran into a guy who's from Armenia, Zora Hamaryan-san. Dude is only 22 years old, drops him early in the fight, dominates the fight, drops him in the second, looked good throughout the fight, man, putting the pressure on him. Matisse looks like he was in trouble, bro. He looked like he was in trouble. His corner looked like, you know, they knew they were in trouble, and I don't know what the fuck happened, man. The judges, they fucked it up, man. The fans were booing. Social media went nuts. Steve Farhood called it the worst decision that he's seen, and that says a lot. Even though I don't like Steve Farhood personally because I think he's a geek, I think he made a valid point, you know, and his expertise and his, you know, time in the game speaks for itself. He's been in the boxing game for years. He's a fucking Hall of Famer, you know. He's a Hall of Famer, and he called that one of the worst decisions ever. Poor kid, man. Zora, man, the look on his face. He didn't even want to take his gloves off. He kept giving that look to the camera like, what the fuck? With both hands out, you know, in his hair, like, looking at like, what? I can't believe this. You know, that shit was crazy, man. I posted something on Instagram, and everybody that seen that fight, it blew up, man. And everybody on social media, Rosie Perez, you know, the typical shit, you know, she does watch boxing, but she tweeted out. Everybody was tweeting Steve Kim, Sergio Moore, the Latin Snake, all the fighters, Clarissa Shield, even she admitted it. You know, it was just one of those things, man. It's a black eye. You know, the Armenian fighter, Zora, man, he signed with Banner and Thompson Boxing. He was looking to make a big impression. And unfortunately for him, man, he was robbed. I do know that Thompson Boxing and Banner Promotions they filed a motion to try to get the fight overturned, try to get the – somebody's got to watch that fight, man. And you don't have to be fucking a boxing expert to know that the kid didn't win. You know, even a draw would have been controversial. But to straight up take the fight from the kid, that's robbery, man. That's robbery, and I can't believe it. And that was probably – it kind of turned me off in a way, you know, because after watching Kenneth Smith, you know, Kenny Sims go at it, you know, in the fight before, I thought for sure, you know what, you know, it's going to be a great card because them two kids went to battle. And even when the co-main event came up, you know, it was a hell of a fight. They were going at it. They were going, you know, going back and forth. But then when that decision came, it wasn't warranted. It wasn't expected. And it stole everything, you know, it stole the night. Montana Love, in my opinion, he lost that fight against Kenneth Sims. Kenneth Sims coming off a loss. He came to win. I thought he won that fight, but that fight ended in a draw. So no harm, no foul. But there's no way Thomas Matisse won that fight. There's no way Thomas Matisse was in a draw. You know, Zora won that fight. He should be 10-0 with 6 KOs. Unfortunately, now he's 9-1 with 6 KOs, while Thomas Matisse, who should be 12-1, 10 KOs, is now 13-0. Shouldn't be that way, man. I mean, this is how you fuck up people's livelihoods. You know, boxing is that kind of sport, right? I remember Teddy Atlas, what he says, man. It's not like it's not like baseball and football where, you know what, you get tomorrow or you get next Sunday or, you know, next road game. No, man, in this fight, they take punishment. You know, they got to spar. And each fight is calculated, you know, 3 months, 2 months, 6 months, depending on what level you're at. And I was gutted for the kid, man. And I hope he comes back. I hope Banner and Thompson can make something happen. I don't know who this blame falls under. I mean, I really don't, because it was in Sloan, Iowa. So we know off top that Sloan, Iowa Boxing Commission is not up to par with California, Nevada, New York, Texas and stuff. But that shit was crazy, man. And even Starfire, again, to say that was the worst decision I've seen in the history of Showbox says a lot, man. Kid deserved better than that, and it's just unfortunate, man. It is what it is.
Well, it definitely does go to the commission, and what you do like to see is promoters not laying down or just taking the result. Because I think we see that a lot, bro, is – you say, oh, well, that's just boxing. We're getting in 2018, and we're getting to the point where, you know, it is visible. there are outlets. A lot of these fights you wouldn't see. So now they're out in the forefront. You do see them, and something happens like this. You know, the promoters are able to file appeals at some point. And I did see someone asked us on Facebook on one of the posts when we posted the results. And he was like, so who's responsible? Who goes down for this, or who can step in? It's got to be a little bit of everybody. I'm sure the WBC, WBA, IBF, IBO, all those sanctionings, if they see something, maybe voice an opinion about it themselves, especially, and like you said, the promoters filing an appeal, that's always helpful. You know, hopefully it does get looked at, and there's countless fights like this. So we can go back to this beginning of boxing to be able to do that.
Yeah, man, those refs, I got to find out who those refs are. Definitely should be looked into. You know, there's no way. There's just no way. I mean, I get it. Even if you felt he was if he was the boxer or what have you, I'm not sure. So here, that's right. Mike Contreras, Bob Lafrait, and Jeff Sennett. That's right, Jeff Sennett. Mike Contreras, though, remember that name. Mike Contreras and Jeff Sennett were the two dumbasses who had it for Cleveland Fighter. Let me see what the fucking scorecard was. Can't read it. Point is, man, that's who you need to watch out for. Mike Contreras, Jeff Sennett. Remember those names. Hold them to it, man. You know, if you can write, you know, reach out to them. You know, reach out to those commissions. I think one belonged to Nebraska. One, they weren't from Iowa. I know they brought them in from out of state, you know, because, again, they don't have the commission set up that way. But the shit is trash. Shit is garbage. Clear robbery, man. I reached out to Banner Promotions. I talked to Matt Rowland. He was going to be on the show, man, but he's on the East Coast, and I wasn't really trying to fuck with him because I know he wasn't happy. He was definitely pissed, and it is what it is, man. And, you know, we've got to talk about a few other fights. John Pascal, he got the big win. I don't know if it's a big win, but he got a win. He actually got the TKO against Stephen Bossy, who came into the fight 1-0 with one KO. Now it's 1-1. How the fuck you go from 1-0 to fighting somebody 32 wins, 33 wins, 20 KOs is beyond me. But hey, it's Quebec, and the guy Pascal said he was going to retire. You know, he only retired for 7 months, came off the win, and here he is, man, still fighting. And that's what it is, man. And before we get to the World Boxing Super Series and the big, and, you know, Lamont Roach and the Jaime Munguia is the big fight from this weekend. My man Montano wants to talk about the champ who unfortunately ain't going to be on Superfly 3. And the reason why he's not going to be on Superfly 3 is because he was fighting in Thailand this past week.
Yeah, Sergey Sugasai, I'm sorry. He's been going through a couple of issues from media outlets and reports. It looks like he went through something with his girlfriend. He was supposed to have made his came back and been on the September card. Even before then, they were trying to make a card out here in L.A. With Tom Loftner and K2 Promotions. But it fell through. He ended up going to staying home and taking a fight there against a formidable opponent, guy with 28 wins and 7 losses at the time, or 6 losses at the time, young Gil Bay. And sorry, I don't know, can't spell it out, but he went in there, knocked him out within a round. So there's still talent there. This guy wasn't a walkover by any, you know, seeming of the imagination. Knocked him out in the first round. Totally whitewashed him, picked up his 46th win. While he's not going to be here in September, there is talk that he's going to be back sometime either late this year or early next year. And that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about when it comes to the schedule of September 8th. You're going to have 3 fights on that card that have potential for him to step in and take on any of those winners, which is always a good look because it's almost a building of an event. Sergey Sarvangasai, he's not going to go anywhere in the time being. He's 31 years old. He's 46-4. The way he beat Estrada and Roman Chocolatito within the last year and a half,
is one of the great achievements in boxing at that, especially at that weight. So expect to see him coming back to the States to improve on his career.
And on the cool, bro, I honestly feel like he deserved that fight coming off those fights you just mentioned. Back-to-back against Chocolatito, first one. Many people disputed it. You know, they felt Chocolatito was wild. All right, let's run it back. Let's do it again. And when they did it again, we know what happened. Ice Chocolatito stunned the StubHub scene. I was there live. The shit was crazy. You know, StubHub loves Chocolatito. All the Nicaraguan fighters and the Mexicans came out there with all the shock. Everybody was like, it was a collective sigh of like, shit, he got dusted. And it was, you know, it was a bad KO. Then he comes back and he fights Gallo Estrada and he wins in close, but I feel, you know, definite fashion. One big thing, one last note from that I took away from the fight is that it was a non-title fight. And while he does improve the 45-1-1 with 40 KOs, first round TKO, no problem, is that the fight was at 120 and it was a non-title fight. I mean, that's quite a bit of weight for a guy that, you know, that weight class, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, it brings up the, shit, so what's next? Now, are you going to go to 118? Or what are you going to do with 122? I mean, it just opens up that box. You know, obviously you got the bantamweight tournament, you know, that's going down. It is what it is, man, as the boxing world turns. But, yeah, man, he won't be joining us in Inglewood. I'm a little disappointed in that, but it's what it is, man. It's the sport of boxing. Him as a fighter, as a champion, he deserves to do that. And that's what it is. Moving on, man. What got us to do the show last week originally, man, we kept talking about Usyk versus Gastev. Usyk versus Gastev. I even downloaded the app. I know a few people reached out to me. They downloaded CloudyTV. People were looking for streaming. People were looking for Box Nation. Everybody, you know, you're boxing head, you're going to find a way to watch the fight. Facebook Live, whatever the fuck. Instagram Live, whatever. But fortunately for me, I was able to watch the whole fight. I was a little disappointed. And the fact that the fight didn't develop into what we thought, but it's what happens. We did put that advisory out there. Sometimes it goes that way, man. It's when you least expect it, you get the all-out war. It's when you expect the war, you don't get the war. And that's what happened. And it wasn't because neither fighter showed up to fight. It's just that one fighter was much better than the other fighter. Alexander Usyk, you know, first cruiserweight to unify all four major titles, which I think is big. Went on the road. Can't forget that. Murat Gassif, you know, carving through everybody, knocking people out, you know, went into Moscow, you know, in front of 24,000 fans. You know, the place was packed. You know, World Boxing Super Series, shout out to them. Top-notch presentation. You know, one thing I will mention that we didn't talk about, literally after last week's show, I downloaded the app right here, is that leading up to the fight, it was a pay-per-view fight. I actually reached out to them. Everybody at CloudyTV, you can sign up for this in the future. If there's another big fight, and you can cancel it right after the fight, you just don't get your refund. So in hindsight, you're paying $9.99 for the fight and or keep the TV for the month subscription, which is cool. But what I wanted to mention is that leading up to that fight, it was like having cable. You know, it was like having your TV on the go, except you're watching your TV through them. And had one channel dedicated to the World Boxing Super Series. So no different than Canelo Triple G, HBO Boxing, no different than Showtime, Floyd Mayweather versus McGregor, where they have their own, you know, 24/7, All Access, all their shows. The World Boxing Super Series had that. They were fighting Usyk. They were following Gassev. And that shit was kind of impressive. That shit was kind of dope. It kind of hyped me up. At one point, I was sharing information with people that I'm watching because I'm watching one clip where it's Abel Sanchez and Murat, and they're watching fights. And, you know, Abel Sanchez, who I think should be called out a little bit, says, oh, yeah, he's fighting this type of way. He's going to fight us this way. I smell a knockout in the ninth round. That knockout didn't come. And one thing that did not come was no adjustments. And he did not give Murat no instructions that I felt, or at least when I seen it, at least when they were in the corner, you know, specific on adjustment on how to get the KO. Hey, how about you go up and under? You know, I might try to turn him out. You know, how about you get on the inside? You know, a little dirty boxing, you know, hit him in the nuts. I don't know. I've heard it all. I didn't hear that. All I heard was, you go for the knockout, you know, come forward. You gotta keep throwing. It reminded me of the Mexican guy at the gym. You know, like, no shit, Sherlock is boxing, but goddamn, you know, so I do want to put that little out there, man. Let's put a little asterisk right there. Abel Sanchez, we love him. You know, great coach, Hootie Woo, right? Yep. Yes, last year when Murat was blowing through everybody and Triple G was blowing everybody, everybody saying, you know, Abel Sanchez style, the summit, it's the magical place. In the biggest stage, the biggest fight, Murat didn't look nowhere near Usyk's level. Usyk looked like he had plan A, plan B, plan C. And guess what? He didn't even need to change to his plan B. Because his plan A works perfection. I'm the box, keep it on the outside, jab, jab, boom, I got you all day long. And Murat, even though he did get a few shots in, shit, it was a clear shutout, my boy. It was shutout city. And a little disappointing, even the Russian fans were, like, quiet, not what I expected. You know, every shot that Murat would land, there was a few moments where I thought the fight was turning, and I even tweeted at one point, I was like, oh, this fight's getting close. But I think that was more the fan in me expecting it and wanting the fight. But it never changed, it never turned, and if nothing else, man, Alexander Usyk proved that he is legit, captures all four titles, again, as I mentioned, because, again, the cruiserweight hasn't always been around. So now you got he has the IBF, has the WBA, WBO, WBC, and Ring Magazine, and he also captures the Ali Trophy, which is the first time it was awarded to any fighter because it's the first time it's happened, and Usyk, man, dominated, and he did that.
Yeah. And from the buzz that we got last week, we don't get that very often in an overwhelming fashion. We tend to get, oh, yeah, there's a fight this week, little buzz, and we go to it. But fight week for Usyk Gassiev was in Twitter and Instagram and Facebook was the talk of boxing. And what you saw that night after the fight is that same, that whole week, every podcast, this podcast, every interview was praising Usyk and talking about Usyk on a pound for pound level, on a high level. It's a coming out party for Usyk, and what a hell of a way to come out by grabbing five belts, four sanctioning belts, and in the ring. Gassiev, the way he fought, it's going to be tough. He's going to go back into the meat grinder and fight. He's not going to be able to take any easy fights. He's going to have to go back. He's going to have to go back and probably earn a bigger another chance for sure. On the undercard, you had Cecilia Bracus coming off her HBO debut with the unanimous decision, clean sweep fight over a tough opponent from Russia. Can't really pronounce her last name. I'm not even going to try. Her first name's Ina Sagadovskaya. She defended all her titles, which is IBF, IBO, WBA, WBC, WBO. It's going to 10 years from now, 20 years from now, as the woman's boxing is developing, she's going to be looked at as something of a Mount Rushmore type of figure. She moves to 34 and zip. Marius Briedis, who actually went a majority decision loss to Usyk in the quarterfinals, picked up a win. Dennis Shakov, the super featherweight who's moved down from lightweight, picked up a win. And a shocking loss, Konstantin Ponomarev, which was actually, we were talking about, I was trying to, you know, we brought him up a little bit, was at 34-0 looking for a big fight with top rank. Lost to a 6-0 fighter from Russia, Sergei Vorobev. I think either he's not what he claims, what we thought he was going to be, or what people thought he was, or maybe he didn't take this fight as serious. From the look of this guy's record, he didn't take him as serious as he should have, and it hurt him. So now he's going to have to work his way back up the ladder. And I mean, Parvanov was beat Solomon, you know, beat Ed Pardes, Mike Sawicki, who was getting pushed out of Canada. So that was a little bit of Steve Claret from Canada. It was a little bit of a shocker, but hey, it brings new blood. Now the Russian has got the hype and maybe get pushed. But overall, the crowd, like you said, the crowd from the beginning of the first three rounds was beautiful, intense, active, live. And then you saw Usyk take over, and it changed. And it's always cool to see it. It turned out to be a real positive event.
It was a worldly event in the sense that it had that mischief. It had that prestige where the lights flashing, the Ali trophy displaying. They kept talking about it, greatest, named after the greatest fighter, in which he is, in my opinion, not only because of what he did in the ring, but what he did out of the ring. That's beside the point. Obviously, Floyd Mayweather is the best ever as far as to make money, but you can't compare Ali and Floyd. But that's another story. That's another battle. But it was on a world level, I felt, you know, coming off this World Cup stuff, you know, where it's world, because remember, I'm going to say it again, these motherfuckers jack shit all the time, raw and uncut, unedited, True Talk Radio, is boxing is the third most popular sport in the world. First, soccer, football, no question, World Cup, billions of people watch, that's question, that's fact. Two is whatever local sport is in your country. So obviously in the U.S., it's football. Across the seas is cricket and rugby and all those sports, whatever they play. And third is boxing, because boxing is that kind of sport where it crosses lines, man, and it is what it is. So on that, from that front, from that aspect, World Boxing Super Series did their thing, and I applaud them, everybody associated with them, and they're setting themselves up now. Hopefully we get this TV, because we had to download the apps, and we had to stream, and we had to watch the fights on World Boxing Super Series, you know, leading up to, you know, we had to watch all these fights. Maybe the zone will land it. We'll see. We don't know. Richard Schaefer's back in the game. There's a lot of different, you know, Eddie Hearn's now in the U.S., Showtime versus HBO. There's a lot of stuff going on. The point is that they did set it off on a world level, and I give them props. And Usyk stole the show, man. Usyk proves that he's the man, legitimate pound for pound, top five. You know, definitely top 10, but top five in my opinion for me. It's based on what he did. Now the talks is, does he go next? Does he go to heavyweight? What happens next? What I think he does deserve is a break, enjoy himself. And I don't know if y'all seen that video of him on Twitter where he's over there eating that big-ass sandwich, man. But that was a funny-ass thing, man. But, you know, that's what it is, man. Usyk stole the show. Usyk proved that he's legit. He's the real deal. And we move on. Now, this, you know, that was – so that just wrapped up. You know, the first boxing, World Boxing Super Series was cruiserweight. Now the second one is the super middleweights, and we got that final set. It's an all-British showdown. You got George Groves, 28-3, 20 KOs with 30 knockouts, going against his countryman, Callum Smith, big brother, little brother, brother to Liam Smith, who just fought Munguia, who we're going to be talking about here shortly. Another undefeated guy, 24-0, 17 KOs. Going back to prove my point as far as how World Boxing Super Series is setting up for a world level, it's not in Vegas, it's not in New York. First final in Russia, second final is going down in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. I can honestly say I don't know if I've ever heard of a boxing event on Saudi Arabia, let alone something this mega. So I don't know if they need to fly me out there. They got Michelle Joy Phelps out there interviewing people. She's a lot finer than me. But let me intertwine with my boy Napoleon out there and all the locals and let them know, man, that boxing is real. And all true, man. You know, that's a big thing. It's a big look, man. So that's going to be going down, man, it's September 28th. So September's starting to stack up pretty nicely. You know, so again, Callum Smith versus George Groves, Saudi Arabia, September 28th. So the location has been determined. And speaking of determined, they're setting it up. They're setting themselves up for season two. In season two, you got the Bantamweights. You got Ryan Burton. You got the Monster, Noye Unye. You got Zolani Tepe, you got the Puerto Rican, Emmanuel Rodriguez, you got Jason Malani, you got the former champion, Onito Donaire, you got the former champion, Juan Carlos Payano, and then you got Mikayla Aleon. That right there is a who's who and a lot of great matchups. If you were to put that along those fights, those different matchups on HBO, that might save the HBO, but we're going to talk a little bit about that because the ratings kind of said that, hey, man, they got Jaime Munguia and they did pretty good. But I think that would have helped HBO a little bit, but we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens coming up in the year upcoming. We're at the midpoint of the year within boxing. A lot to be determined, a lot to be seen. A lot of fights have been made, a lot of stuff happening. So we'll see what they do. Now, on the second part of season two, because just like this year, they have two different weight classes. They got the super lightweights. And here we go. Regis Prograis, Josh Taylor, Relic, Ivan Barakat. You got the Anthony Ike. You got former WBO champion Terry Flanagan. You got the former WBA champion Edward Troyanovsky. And then you got blue chip Ryan Martin, literally blue chip Ryan Martin. Not that he is a blue chip, but he, guess what? He's going to have to prove himself. He's going to prove that he's that. And I'm interested to see how these fights go down. So you got Burnett versus Donaire going to be fighting. You got Tite versus Oleana going to be fighting. You got Unye versus Juan Carlos Payano, who we got to see out here. And then you got Emmanuel Rodriguez versus Molani, man. So a lot of different events. And then just like brackets and different stuff, you know, they're going to go down and they're going to be fighting. And we still don't know where locations or what, but we know the matchups. You got the quarterfinals in the super lightweight. You got Regis Prograis versus Terry Flanagan, which is a great fight. That alone right there is a good fight. And then you got Relic versus the former WBA champion, the Russian, Trovanowski. You got to remember him. They were mentioning when they were talking about Bud Crawford fighting somebody or another world champion at 140, he was one of them. And then you got undefeated Josh Taylor. Undefeated Josh Taylor, who just came off the win over Victor Postol, going to be fighting Ryan Martin. That's a good fight. And then you got the Ukrainian fighter who made a name for himself up there in Miami, Oklahoma, who you've seen a lot on Showbox, Berendich, going up against Ayat. That's a good matchup in itself, man. World Boxing Super Series setting themselves up for big things. And I like what they're doing. Only thing I want is some TV in it. And ultimately, if you got to stick to the cloud TV, then fuck it. Run it. Let's do it. It is what it is. World Boxing Super Series doing big things. I'm going to pass to my boy Montano so we can move along.
Yeah, I'm just going to take a little quick take on this. You know, the one thing that the World Super Series, the World Boxing Super Series is providing is outlets for guys that maybe, well, they're world champions or close to being world champions that are probably still not household names. And that's one of the things where American TV or American boxing as takes over on the monetary side but doesn't actually – provide a template or provide a place where for some of these guys to be able to max out fight-wise potentially and monetary. Guys like Josh Taylor are bubbling out there in Europe already and already being talked about on the world-level scenes, but no one in America outside of any true boxing head would know his name. As for the outlet, TV outlet, from what I'm hearing, it's pretty much a go that it's going to end up being on DAZN. That's going to be that's a great pickup for Eddie Hearn, and from what he what Nacho was saying on Cloud TV, it's going to come with all types of interactive post and pre fight events and you know and media, which is always good because it helps build up the events.
True, true, true. You got to hype it up. No different than you hype up the Super Bowl. You got to hype up your boxing event. Finally, wrapping up the fight from this weekend, man. You had a lot of Roach, got the big win out there in Cancun. I may have briefly mentioned, man, and I'll just leave it at that. He got the knockout. He looked good. He got a vacant WBO Intercontinental title. Gets himself right back on the ranks, back up in the ranks. As I say, I would love to see him get that rematch. I'd love to see him run it back, a fight that he won against the Puerto Rican. Maybe he takes that fight to Mexico, not Puerto Rico. But congrats to Lamont Roach, man. He got the big win. Big, big one, man. Jaime Munguia versus Liam Smith. Jaime Munguia looks good. Albert Machado defends his title for the first time. WBA 130-pound title against Albert Mensa, who looked outclassed, man. You know, poor guy, Rafael Mensa. Sweet Pea didn't look like Sweet Pea at all. You know, and Max Kellerman brought up a good point during the telecast. To get to this point, he had to be crop of the creme for his country. You know, he had to go through wars just to get the opportunity to be on HBO. And you seen the fight, he got dropped. Jaw was broken. Looked like fight was going to be over, but it wasn't. He lasted to the 12th round, which is, an award for him, a win for him. After that early knockdown, it looked like it was over. He survives to the end of the fight, and, you know, he can hang his hat on that. You know, unfortunately for Alberto, he didn't get it done. But after the fight, he admitted that he hurt his hand, so he wasn't able to. And after the fight, you know, he got into it with Galante. Tank Davis is making his rounds right now, called him a bum, and went all out on him. And we'll see what happens with Alberto, who's a big guy for 130. And, you know, you probably would have wanted him to get that KO, but he couldn't, obviously, understandably, because he did bust up his knuckle. But, you know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, and Alberto, you know, I got to see a couple people that were talking a little bit down on his win, just because I guess the temp where he was at, which was HBO, This kid's 27 years old. He's entering his prime. He's 20-0, 16 knockouts. I think more than anything, we're going to find out, or at least we are knowing now, that that hand injury probably played the reason why he wasn't able maybe to press down the gas on it. I just think he's really big, bro. He's 5'10 at a 130. He's going to be trouble for anybody. If he's able to step into his punch and show his skills, I think he's going to be in every fight. He did drop him hard in the first round, let him survive 11 rounds. To me, it was a good learning experience. Got some rounds on TV. As for the main event, let's talk about it. Jaime Munguia, I mean, improved to 30-0. He picked up a unanimous decision, which I had at 16 to 11, you know, 116 and 1 to 11. Ranged from 116, 1 to 11, and 119, and 119, 110, which to me was way too wide over Liam Smith, who drops to 26 and 2. Liam Smith worked hard and well early in the fight. Munguia has a lot of space to grow. He's 21 years old. Liam Smith was playing pepper and working, just working it out, working, touching him early often. But the one thing that is the game changer, or at least in this fight was Munguia's pressure and power. Why he doesn't have maybe one, either Smith, which he is durable. He went, you know, 9 rounds with Canelo, took punishment there, got up from being knocked down, was able to go the 12 rounds with Munguia. Munguia from around 4 to 5 was pounding the body, working. There's still a lot to be worked, a lot of work to be done on Jaime Munguia, which is defensive, or maybe that's just going to be his style. It was a good fight, solid fight, good learning experience for the 21-year-old. And Liam has, you know, can hang his hat on a tough performance on HBO.
Sure, he can hang his hat, no different than Rafael Mensah. Liam Smith, he himself started out fast, and he himself got hurt and got dropped. And it looked like Munguia was going to get him out of there, but he didn't. Liam Smith proved that he's a veteran. And Munguia, after the fight, admitted, hey, man, he proved that I'm green. Definitely showed some defensive flaws, but definitely fun to watch. As a young kid, you know, coming off that big win when he knocked out, you know, Saddam Ali, man, everybody, you know, calling Sweet Baby Jesus and, you know, saying he's the second coming, but proves that he's, you know, on planet Earth and he's got some improvement to make. But one thing I briefly mentioned was those numbers. You know, we wanted to bury HBO, so, hey, man, HBO was done for, you know, but 77,000 was the average. They peaked at 827,000, which is almost 1 million, which is pretty good, seeing that only diehards know who Jaime Munguia is. You know, obviously, HBO has a big fan base. You know, they have a lot of people, and people who pay for HBO are those type of people that are at home sipping wine, you know, drinking their beer and watching their fights, because that's what they do. You know, they're entertaining their people. That's what they do. I guarantee you, most people who have HBO are about that, you know. Whether you're streaming, I don't give a fuck. The point is that those people tune in and those people recorded it. And those are legit numbers. Those numbers are up there with Keith Thurman. Those numbers are up there with, you know, NBC and Showtime and all these cards. Even though Showtime is killing it, those are pretty good numbers. You know, so Sanford, Golden Boy, they can hang their hat on that. And also hang their hat on the fact that their young kid, it's a good thing that he got this lesson out. Better get this lesson now and get someone like DC Smith than a Charlo or than a Swift Herd. And if nothing that, maybe reels him back just a little bit. Hey, Larry, we got work to do. Let's tune this up. And let's see, we got work to do. There's talks about him possibly fighting on the Canelo Triple G number 3 match, which I think would be a great idea. Our good friend of ours, Roberto Amananza Garcia, wants that fight at 154 pounds. I would love to see that fight. It's a good matchup because it's somebody with big balls that's going to say, all right, bro, young man, put the balls on the table. I'm going to give them to you. And stylistically, they make for a fun fight. And you got two Mexican guys. I actually think that would be a good fight, man. We got to get him on the show so he can pop that shit up and get it going. Because, you know, that's right around the corner. You know, Munguia, you know, relatively unscathed after the fight. I think that's that turnaround for September is a good fight for him. And, that's what it is, man. Big win for Jaime Munguia to defend his title for the very first time. Congratulations to him. But definitely shows that he's human. He did what he had to do. I had it a little bit wider than Montano. I had it, you know, I did give Liam Smith the first three rounds. I think Liam Smith did teach him things. There was a one point where he was landing elbows and, you know, landing followed up by a shot. Just a veteran, used every trick in the trade. He a little dirty boxing, double jamming, right hand, proved or showed that Munguia's got some work to do. He's not indestructible. And yes, he does have power, and he displayed it by getting dropped, by dropping Beefy Smith, but proved that can't knock everybody out. You're going to have different levels. You're going to have to be able to change it up. You can't go gossip. You can't go gossip when you fight a Usyk. You got to be ready. Not everybody's a Lomachenko. Not everybody's a Usyk. But, if you do encounter one of those, you better be ready. It's going to come. All right, man. Moving on, man, to the big ones from this weekend. You got the big fights. I'm going to start off with Dillon White versus Joseph Parker, former WBO champion. Obviously lost his belt to Anthony Joshua. That's a big one, man. That's a big, big fight, as far as heavyweights. We'll be able to tune in and watch that. Unfortunately, Kell Brook, he had to withdraw from the fight. He was actually scheduled to be on the card. Kell Brook looking to get back into the title defense. He moved up, already calling out Errol Spence. I think Errol says that, hey, if you win, at 154, I'll go up and fight you at 154. Kell Brook's team, Matchroom Boxing, they didn't disclose what the injury was. I hope it ain't the eye. I hope it ain't the eye. Obviously, we know the story. Triple G fucked up one eye, and Errol Spence knocked up the other. But point is that he won't be fighting this weekend. Sam Ennington stepped in to face Cook. So now you got Sam Ennington, who's been in tough. He's going to be fighting that fight's off too. Oh, shit. Damn, I didn't know that one. Well, shit, well, that blows. Well, you still got Nick Webb versus David Allen. Heavyweight matchup, and then you got the main event, Joseph Parker versus Dillon White. And then you got the big one, man, Mikey Garcia versus Robert Easter. That's the big fight. I watched the press conference today. Mikey Garcia said all the right things. They asked him, why are you already looking forward to Errol Spence? Well, because I'm a champion. And in all my fights, I've been considered the favorite. And I know if I win this fight and I fight Errol Spence, I'm not the favorite. I'm now the underdog, and I want that challenge, and I want the best. The reason why I'm fighting Easter is because this is my first unification bout ever. Now I'm about to unify. I'm about to win two belts. And to me, that says a lot. It's an undefeated fighter versus an undefeated fighter, unbeaten versus unbeaten. And a good point was brought up. Robert Easter, tall guy, undefeated, but he's been tested, but you haven't really seen out a breakout performance. You haven't really seen him shine. And his team, Kim Cunningham, who trains Devin Alexander, feel like this type of fight's going to bring out the best in Robert Easter. Robert Easter's speaking like a fighter. Hey, you know what? Shit don't matter. I don't care. He can overlook me. He's a fighter. Well, I'm a fighter too. We're still going to have to get in there in the ring and throw those hands. And that was interesting to me because he didn't really even care about it. You know what? All he talked about is how he trained, how he's going to be ready, how he's ready for the moment, and he's confident, man. He's confident. He actually predicts that he's going to have an easy fight, and we'll see, man. And a talk is cheap. I'll be tuning in. I'm going to be out there. The homeboy Joe Rome's daughter's quinceañera. That is quinceañera. I'll be watching it on my phone, man, and I'm looking forward to it. I think there's no question the winner of this fight is top dog in 135 pounds. I know Lomachenko's up there, but it's Lomachenko at 135. Is he at 130? We know that the winner of that fight is going to be undefeated, and we know the winner of that fight is going to have two belts. Winner of that fight can fight Lomachenko if they can make it happen, and if they do, then obviously we've got a clear winner. But from the perspective of undefeated versus undefeated, champion versus champion, I got to go with them on that, on that front. No knock on Lomachenko because we know he's top three, top 5 pound for pound. But if Robert Easter was somehow magically, upsets, depending on how he does it, obviously we don't want no controversial, no Matisse, no type of showbox controversial. If it's a close fight, run it. But if it's something clear and decisive, then that says a lot about Robert Easter. Guess what, baby? Welcome to the big boys. Welcome to the big table. Obviously, Mikey Garcia goes what many expect him to do, depending on how he does it too. Says goes a long way solidifying Mikey Garcia, what he is in the chain, and what he is in the top 10 pound for pound.
Yeah, there's going to be some questions. That's the cool thing about boxing that I fall in love with is answering some of these questions that we always have about in these fights. You know, Mikey's the better fundamental fighter, the better, probably bigger puncher. Robert Easter has the better physical tools. Tall, got an 8-inch reach, and has legit boxing skill with either boxing and likes to fight. I've seen a couple of people, I've seen some people talking about Robert Easter and the way he looks in one of his last workout pictures. He looked real thin. Well, he's 5'10". I'm trying to make 135. Some people say, man, he ain't going to have anything left, or maybe he's already dried out. You can look at it that way, but you can also look at it as he understands the moment. He understands that he has to be at his physical best, at his peak, to be able to beat or have a chance to beat Mikey Garcia. I think that he's taken it upon himself, him and his team, you know, Coach Cunningham, understand the moment. I think he's grabbing it by the horns, brother. I think he's putting himself to be at least in physical shape to go 12 hard rounds with Mikey Garcia. Now, is it going to work? That's the question that's going to be answered Saturday. But as in him using an excuse, I ended up having a bad camp or anything like that. No, I think we're going to see the best physical Robert Easter on Saturday.
Yes, sir, no excuses. Both are fighters, both are undefeated, both are ready to go. Let's go, baby boys, let them bang. WBC and IBF lightweight unification bout going down from the Staples Center in Los Angeles. Great place to watch a fight. Premier, you know, sporting event. You know, we've had some good fights there. I had the pleasure of watching Marquez versus Vasquez there. Obviously, Mahdes versus Santa Cruz has gone down there. And it's going down, man, so it's a big, big fight. We'll be talking about that one, you know, Mikey Garcia versus Robert Easter. Let's see how it plays out. In the co-main event, you got Luis Ortiz making his comeback following his, you know, first defeat against Deontay Wilder in a hell of a fucking fight. Fight that had everybody going nuts. Going up against the former Boxino participant, Razvan Kanjo, who feels that stylistically he matches well against Luis Ortiz. Feels that, you know, he can give the guy some trouble. He actually said this in a press conference. This is the first time that I'm really ready, really ready. Saying and admitting that in past fights he's been hurt. You know, he's went and gone in training camps, been hurt, and had to continue fighting through the injury and fighting through that to get ready for a fight. This time he's really ready and no excuses. So he's ready to give a good account, knowing that if he beats Luis Ortiz, he's on the map. Same thing for Luis Ortiz. He knows if he wins, he feels that he's right on the map. And he used the analogies that, hey, man, we're both hungry. You know, the hungriest fighter is going to win. You know, you're going to put food on the table, and I'm starving right now, and I belong up there, and I know he's trying to take what's mine, and I'm ready to eat. You know, I'm starving. I'm ready to get right back up there. He feels that this fight solidifies him at the top because he feels that he really never left and he really wants that Wilder rematch. So interesting little, you know, backstory there is that the fight, it can go both ways. Another interesting fight, you got the San Antonio kid, Mario Barrios, who feels that, you know, he is the future. He feels that he's well prepared. He actually said, I got San Antonio on my back. Going up against Jose Ercato Roman, former Thompson boxing fighter, a former fighter who's been with Top Rank. He's been up there. He's been tested. He's won big, and he's lost big, too. So it's a good fight, man. Interesting, man. Mario Barrios at one point was fighting at 126, 130. The guy was fucking monster, killing guys at 126. Now he's fighting at 140 pounds, just the difference of, you know, time can do. They got the true Roberto Maronquin. Hopefully this fight finally happens. He was supposed to be fighting on the Spence undercard. He's going to be fighting against Ricardo Nunez. You got Carlos Valderas fighting. You know, you got a little bit of beef going on out there. You got Fabian Madonna, Chino Madonna's fighter. We like him. We'd rather have the other Madonna, but Fabian Madonna's going to be fighting on the card as well. And going against a formidable opponent in Andriy Klimov, you know, if you know Andriy Klimov, you know, he made his bones on an ESPN solo boxeo. So that's an interesting matchup. Overall, Garcia versus Easter with a decent, pretty card. Like Montano said last week, one of those shows where it's gonna be an all-day thing, bro. It's going to be a lot of fights, a lot of different fighters on different levels, headlined by the big main event. And, you know, good luck. So if you're a fan, definitely tune in. You know, you got guys on there, like I'm told, you know, that I don't even know. But it's going to be going down. Hey, what you got on the card before you go on to the next fight? You good? The next big fight, man, you got the Carlos Diaz, Christopher Diaz, you know, the Puerto Rican pit bull fighting for his first world title, fighting for the vacant WBO junior lightweight title going down in Kissimmee, Florida. You can tune in and watch that fight live on ESPN+. So your boy's going to be at the quinceañera, and your boy's going to be watching fights, goddammit, drinking on some Bud Light, Tecate Light, and some TS whiskey, and showing some love. And I'll be watching my fights, man. And it's a good, interesting matchup with Christopher Diaz, Pitbull. You've seen him beat Ray Jimenez. You've seen him do good things, fighting against the Japanese guy for the vacant title. Says that he's been Diaz said that he's been training 15 years for this, ready for the moment.
Yeah, this is there's actually a preview of the whole card on True Boxing Heads. Y'all make sure, TrueBoxingHeads.com, y'all make sure to log on there, read some of the work that True Boxing Heads from all around the country are writing on these cards. Diaz, like you said, since his 2013 debut, was not a blue-chip prospect like Felix Verdejo, but he positioned himself into a world title fight. He just recently won that WBO, NABO, Super Featherweight Championship, which is, puts him up in the ranking. Now that Lomachenko has left, he goes in. He's fighting Masasuki Ito, 3-1-1 out of Japan. He's by far the more experienced fighter, having turned pro in 2009. His lone defeat is a majority decision, so it was a close fight on that. The biggest win of his career was a year ago, with the 9th round knockout over Lorenzo Villanueva, who was 33-2 at the time. He's got the more experience. He's fought in 5 12-rounders. He's riding a 7-fight win streak, which are 5 of those are by knockout. So that it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm anxious to see how it meshes and what Diaz is able to do once Ito gets into a groove or gets his engine going. Now, the co-main event was supposed to have been Carlos Adames, who was a recent sign-up and actually had come out, was actually the co-feature for the Lomachenko-Linares fight. He fell off the card, so they picked up Gabriel Bracero, 24-3-1. He's taking on Arturo Moraes in a 10-round bout. Both of them, this is a crossroads fight. Arturo Reyes can very well, very easily put himself into a big fight. He's 25-2 with 20 knockouts. So he's got heavy hands. He's been very active. But Gabe Bracero is 24-3 with 1. Lacks pop, but works very well. The rest of the undercard has a lot of prospects. You'll see the other Falco brother, the one Falco brother fights under Golden Boy, just fought in Las Vegas, picking up a win. The other brother, Esquivel Falco, fights Jonathan Tavara, 17-5 in a 10-round bout. You got Henry Lubon, Puerto Rican, fighting in a 6-rounder. You got Antonio Vargas, 6-0, 3 knockouts, fighting on there. Vladimir Nikitin. He's actually a 2016 Olympic bronze medalist. He's making his pro debut. Jose Lopez, 10-0, 8 knockouts. He's fighting on the card. Yomar Alemano, 14-0. They're all fighting decent guys, but they're all getting exposure. And that's one of the things that I like about ESPN Plus, is they're going to be able to show you the entire card. And you get to see some of these guys that in the next 2, 3, 4 years are going to be making, hopefully either be a B-side to somebody that's making a buzz or making a buzz themselves.
True, for sure, man. Unfortunately, you're right, man. You brought up a good point. The original co-main event fell through, but when something falls, you know, somebody has to step up, and sometimes when you get that opportunity, you shine, and other times you don't. You can look at Anthony Vincennes, who was given the opportunity and fortunately didn't really shine. So now you've got, Reyes versus Barcero, 37 years old, man, been in there with Danny O'Connor, Harlem Malignaggi, you know, came up on the Broadway boxing, Lou DiBella scene. You know, he's been in there with a lot of different guys. And we'll see what's going to happen, man. You know, it's boxing. Anything could happen. It's up to the fighter to shine. So we'll see if who steps up. I believe, in my opinion, Artemio Reyes, who's now with Espinosa Boxing, I think he's a favorite in the fight. You know, he's actually looking forward to the opportunity. He now knows that everybody's going to be watching on ESPN. His people are going to be watching. We've had him on the show before, another Thompson Boxing graduated from Thompson Boxing, who got signed with Espinosa Boxing and is now working with Top Rank. So here he is, co-main event as the boxing world turns. My boy Montano kind of gave down the list. Obviously everybody on the card has some upside. The one kid to keep an eye on is former Olympian Antonio Vargas. I think that kid is the really, aside from the main event, you know, Christopher Diaz, favorite against the Japanese. Artemio Reyes, you know, favorite in his fight. Antonio Vargas is probably the name to remember from that card. Hey, man, moving along, man. I think my boy Montano did a good job of covering that card. I got to cover this, man. It really didn't make much news, but if you were on Twitter, you seen it on Deadspin, it did get some coverage, man. Curtis Stevens versus Carlos Hario, man, down there in fucking Santo Domingo, Santiago de los Caballos. My man Curtis Stevens, for one, Zap Judah, I love you, bro, but he's not a world champion, bro. He won the IBA belt, bro. International Boxing Association. That ain't a world title, my boy. It's a trinket. It's a belt, you know. It ain't a title. So, you know, Brownsville, you know, Brooklyn, you know, got a lot of champs and stuff, but you can't add the homie Curtis Stevens into it. Anyways, he got the win. He went on the road and knocked out the local product from Santo Domingo. And after the fight, man, the fans went wild. Started throwing chairs and throwing beer bottles, even gunshots rang out. You know, that's the type of shit only in boxing happens, man, where that emotion that, fuck you, motherfucker, fuck you. You know, when they go that fucking nuts, that's what happened. All hell broke loose. Fortunately for Steve Smoger, who was there covering the fight, and, you know, Steven's team, they were able to escape without getting touched because gunshots swinging, chairs slinging. Thank God there were plastic chairs, but that's why they were able to sling them so easily. It was just crazy, man. Just one of those things that only happened in boxing. And fortunately for them, man, nobody was touched. And it's definitely a black eye. Definitely some type of investigation has to go in the way, man. It's one of those things you got to keep an eye on. And why places like Texas don't allow you to take beer bottles into a boxing event? Because in past experience, motherfuckers have thrown beer bottles and fucked motherfuckers up.
It did go viral. Gunshots, chairs everywhere. It very easily could have turned real ugly, brother. Stevens, from what I had seen, he wants to go back down to 154, which, you know, he's a small guy. He needs to get every physical advantage that he can. And he's got a name to him, so I do expect him to get a chance at that. Let me go through a couple quick cards that are going to be on TV on Friday. Pretty much the only fight on that Telemundo card that's going to get some attention is Saul Baby Juarez fighting Mario Andre. The only reason Saul Baby Juarez is going to get some attention, he'll probably pick up the win, put himself in a position for another big fight because he's fighting that junior flyweight. Once again, there's not too many notable names at that weight. You also got a BN Sports is going to be going BN Sports, the American one, is going to be in Laredo, Texas, showing a card with Randy Moreno versus Victor Rosas as the main event. Jorge Casanada versus Carlos Villar. You also got that Saturday. You also have BN from Tijuana, Mexico, in Spanish, Carlos Ronales versus Jethro Papastan. 10 rounds in the featherweight division. It's just a couple of cards that are coming out on TV. Check out your local listing.
Check out your local listing. Speaking of Superfly, man, Superfly 3, and as we mentioned, man, the homie Sore, he's not going to be on the card because he just fought. You know, he ain't going to be making his way out there to Inglewood, unfortunately. But who is going to be making their way out there is Juan Francisco Estrada. He's going to be going up against Felipe Ortuca. Orecuta in the main event. And the fight that I think steals the spotlight is the Filipino showdown, Donnie Nietes versus Austin Palacite. Palacite, Palacite, Palacite. And then you got the Japanese Uka against Mick Williams Arroyo. That's going down September 8th from the Fabulous Forum in Los Angeles, California, and Boxing After Dark. If they would have made the rematch of Swore versus Gallo, I think I would have made that trip. But seeing that it ain't, I don't think I'm going to go. But, it's still interesting in the sense that, it's the third year in a row. And, I mean, that's kind of why I wanted to go to, just kind of have that tradition going. But September 8th on the cool is, it's shaping up to be a good day in boxing. You got Garcia versus Porter, which was officially announced. It's going to be going down in Brooklyn for the vacant WBC title. So that's big. We're talking about Errol Spence, talking about 147, we're talking about unification. That's something that can happen right there. You got the real deal. Boxing going down that day. Amir Khan's going to be returning that day against Samuel Vargas. You got Jose Ramirez versus Antonio Orozco set for September 14th, the day before Canelo versus Triple G, out there in Fresno, California. And, shaping up, man, a lot of big fights happening. And as the boxing world turns, man, True Boxing Heads, True Talk Radio episode 126, a quick smash and dash, four-rounder, no guess, just how to get it all in, get it all out, and keep it moving, man, keep pushing through.
Yeah, for sure. Now on the local scene, I'll move and make it as quick as possible, but I'll let y'all know. Here in Fort Worth or in Dallas, DFW, there's two cards here on Saturday. You have live from the downtown Dallas, you got the Rumble in the Park, Main Street, Garden Park, 1902 Main Street, Dallas, Texas. They're holding a potential seven-fight card headlined by Ray Jimenez. 17-1, four knockouts. He's trying to get into a big fight. He is right on the cusp of getting that big fight. He's taking on 13-year veteran Germán Meraz. On the undercard, you got Cesario Ramos, 10-1, fighting Gabriel Gutierrez, Kenneth Taylor. You got Jesse Angel Hernandez, 11-1-7, fighting Raymond Chacon. Edward Vasquez, also out of Fort Worth, fighting on that card. And the other event that's happening in Dallas is the return of Alex El Perro Dos Bosques. He actually fought Damon Allen a couple months ago, came up short. He makes his return to Dallas, fighting another fighter from Monterrey. So it's almost like a Monterrey grudge match, fighting Daniel Perales. You got a couple of Rafael Listo Gaitan, 1-0, looking to his amateur pedigree, 71 fights, only three losses. A lot of amateur experience. He's the co-feature. I'll slow it down a little bit. Adrian Guerra is making his return after a year off. Robert Rodriguez. A lot of local fighters that are getting exposure that sometimes don't, especially here, at least in our era, we've gone through a little bit of a drought because boxing is a tough business for promoters. And I put a little bit of both in that. You can read up on both of these cards online. Please take time out of your day. Give it a couple minutes. First paragraph out of my stories, I kind of give it a little bit of information on what I think about boxing in general and how it pertains to a card. Like we were talking about earlier, for every card that you get to see on TV, there's 10 of them that you never get to see. For every big fighter, for every world champion, there's blue-collar guys that make a living that fight every other week. There's talent out there at all different levels. Let's give them attention. And if you support them, give them your eyes, give them your money.
True that, man. Some final news before we wrap it up. You got the middleweight WBO title, Billy Joe Saunders, his mandatory challenger, Demetrius Andrade. They're going to a purse bid. Hopefully that fight is slated to happen July 25th. Actually, it just happened. It should be happening today. But the fight should be happening October 6th. Hopefully it happens. Billy Joe Saunders versus Demetrius Andrade. October 20th. There we go. October 20th, they're going to run it. I look forward to that fight. Like my boy Montano said, Carlos Adames, the undefeated Dominican Republican fighter, did fall off. As we mentioned earlier in the show, Jaime Munguia is being slated to be the co-feature main event for Golovkin Triple G. Other fights in the works is David Lemieux versus Spike O'Sullivan, and talks about, you know, Chocolate Gonzalez making his comeback on that undercard. I think that would be a good look. I was able to listen in on the Berto versus Devin Alexander press conference. You know, they're looking forward to it. He's going to be fighting August 4th. You got Sergey Covil that's going to be following the following week. And that's going to be going down. You got Sergey Lipinets, who lost his title to Mikey Garcia. He's going to be fighting on that August 4th card. He's going to be on the undercard. And he's going to be moving up to welterweight. He's going to be taking on Eric Boone, who's a tough dude, man, 29 years old from Ecuador. He's going to be a 10-rounder. He's going to be opening up the Fox telecast. And also fighting on the fight, you got Kid Chocolate and Gian Love, man. You know, it was a good preliminary bout. Did good segue to the main event, which is Devin Alexander versus Andre Berto. You got Bivol, who's going to be the co-feature of the Kovalev. We got video of him out there having his training day or his media day out there at the Legends Boxing Club out there in Norwalk. You can check out the video on True Boxing Head's YouTube channel. And like my man Montano said, you know, just support the website and, you know, just check it out. So check us out on all social medias, you know, True Boxing Heads, Facebook, True Boxing Heads, Twitter, True Boxing Heads, YouTube, TrueBoxingHeads.com, California to New York, man, forward Texas, born and bred, and all boxing all the time, man. So we had to come back with the True Talk Radio episode 126, quick smash and dash, little four-rounder, no guests, little freestyle tip, raw and uncut, how we always do it. Unedited, raw and uncut, bro. Just, you know, straight raw. But appreciate everybody who tuned in last week. Appreciate all the support. You know, again, thanks for the guests from last week. And thanks to everybody tuning in, man. We're going to try to keep on pushing. Had to go through some battles this past week and today. But we got through it and we're able to serve you today, man. So shout out to everybody again tuning in, you know, True Talk Radio.
Yeah. On the end note, as for the events that are going to be televised, you know, ESPN Plus is a fairly new. They got a show in Kissimmee, Florida, East Coast, and then you have the big show, Showtime show, on the West Coast. And there's fights all the way in between. So y'all make sure to check stuff out. There's always boxing going on. Hopefully we'll be back next week. There's fights next week. There's fights the week after. So I want to give a shout out to, you know, some of my waste management. I work at waste management. I give a shout out to a couple guys that are always asking me boxing questions, keeping me informed or keeping me on my toes with questions. I also want to give out shout out to Austin Farley, homeboy from work. He lost his kid about a month ago. The first time I got to see him today and got to talk to him. People are going through real stuff and still trying to find ways to get through the day, get through the week, get through the month, and still prosper. Boxing's no different. There's all different types of stories within the system, and y'all support them.
That's true, bro. We all fighting our own battles, man. We're all fighting that good fight, man, trying to make it, man, trying to get it. And as we said last week, man, we're always going to be in the sport of boxing, dedicated to you guys, and appreciate the support, man. It's a sport of boxing has been good to us, and we want to be good to you, man. So salute to everybody who tunes in, to everybody who supports. Powered by Grubbs Nissan, y'all already know. My boy shouted out his waste management job. You know, guys, shout out Grubbs Nissan, man. Sponsored by, powered by Grubbs Nissan, man. We're out here pushing and trying to get it, man. And thanks again to everybody who supports. And on that note, we're going to close it out, man. It's live from Beverly Hills, Fort Worth, Texas, man. We're going to wrap it up, man. True Talk Radio episode 126. Y'all be looking out for True Talk Radio episode 127. Hopefully get back in the groove, man, after this little four-rounder, man. Had to shake it off a little quick unanimous decision, you know, 40-36 on all three scorecards, man, you know, to remain undefeated. You already know. True Boxing Heads, True Talk Radio, baby. We out, baby. True.
Ese que trae muchas ganas de darme pa' abajo, que me di la cara. Yo como quiera lo atiendo, como quiera le entro y no traigo más nada. Yo solito le hago frente y atoro a la gente que manda al contrario. Se me está haciendo costumbre matar dos o tres de los que matan diario. Este día no lo recibo porque a domicilio te haré una consulta. No quiero tantos pacientes. socios siempre son los socios que te traicionan. Cuando sale muy buen queso que vale alto precio y la vaca es talona. Pero soy toro encartado y se van a tragar lo que me salga ahora. Mi abuela, que eran importantes, que no se llene de plomo si nosotros somos narcotraficantes. Para mi remordimiento, de veras que siento darte un gran regalo. ¿Qué color quieres la caja? ¿Te gusta plateado del color dorado? No se te olvide en el viaje llevarle el mensaje a tus ex pistoleros. Que no les quede la duda que yo con las viudas como me divierto. Ya con esta me despido, me llega un pitido que es como una bomba. México, Estados Unidos, Panamá, Perú, Venezuela y Colombia. Ya están directos conmigo Cuba y Puerto Rico. Los tengo en la bolsa.